Hello, once again, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the founder of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the academic dean of Farriston Theological Seminary. Today's lecture is Cult Lecture Number 11. Cult Lecture Number 11, and we'll be discussing the occult, Part 1. The occult, Part 1, Cult Lecture Number 11. As we start our study on the occult, it is necessary for us first to define exactly what the occult is. And so we'll attempt to give a definition of the occult. The occult deals with secret or hidden arts. The occult deals with secret or hidden arts, and it deals with events that go beyond the five senses. The occult deals with secret or hidden arts, and it deals with events that go beyond the five senses. The occult deals with the supernatural realm. Deals with the supernatural realm of demonic forces. So the occult deals with secret or hidden arts. It deals with events that go beyond the five senses, and it deals with the supernatural realm of demonic forces. Now, before we go any further, I think we need to differentiate between two types of the world of the occult. First, there is the pseudo-occult, the pseudo or false occult. This deals with trickery. It's fraudulent. If people are pretending it's real, like seances, and they're just a hoax, then it's unethical. However, sometimes the pseudo-occult, the false occult, is used to entertain people, such as the art of illusion. The art of illusion. Now, often, though, those who are into the art of illusion, like Houdini was, often they will jump the gap, cross that gulf between the pseudo-occult and enter into the genuine occult, where Houdini, who was into the art of illusion, trickery and fraudulent type occult, the false occult, he entered into the genuine occult when he would attend seances attempting to contact his dead mother. But the pseudo-occult is trickery, fraudulent, the art of illusion. On the other hand, the genuine occult, there is some genuine demonic intervention. Some genuine demonic intervention. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. The Apostle John states this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So John says, test the spirits, because not every spirit is the Holy Spirit. There are demonic spirits that inspire false prophets, just as the Holy Spirit inspires the true prophets of God. Now, we don't have time to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 4:4, or 2 Corinthians, actually chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul warns the Corinthians not to accept a different Jesus, not to accept a different gospel, and not to be inspired by a different spirit. And I think in a roundabout way, it's implied that there is a good test to test whether or not the spirit is the Holy Spirit or a demonic spirit. And that is, if the gospel message differs from the gospel message of the Bible, which is salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and if it's not the Jesus of the Bible, who is truly God, but he became a man, so he's fully God and fully man, if it's a different gospel message and a different Jesus, then you're guaranteed that it's going to be a different spirit, and it's going to be the world of the occult, demonic intervention, rather than the Holy Spirit himself. And look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, and Paul states, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." So demons in the last days will intervene and will teach false doctrines. I think we see much of this through the UFO reportings, which I believe are demons, through the channeling, which is nothing but spiritism, demons possessing human beings to speak through them, at least those cases of channeling that are actually genuine demonic intervention. So there is a pseudo-occult, and I would, my guess is that 80% of what claims to be occultic is actually pseudo-occult, false occult, but there is the genuine occult out there where there is genuine demonic intervention, and we need to be aware of that. Our definition of the occult, it deals with secret or hidden arts. It deals with events that go beyond the five senses. It deals with the supernatural, demonic realm. The pseudo-occult is trickery, fraudulent. It's the art of illusion. But the genuine occult is when when genuine demonic intervention occurs. Now, I'd like to spend a decent amount of time discussing how many people get introduced into the occult. And so some of the things that I'm going to discuss are deep in the world of the occult, but some of the other things are not really in the occult themselves. It just leads people in that direction. It's stepping stones into the occult. I'll try to differentiate as we discuss each one what is in the world of the occult and what is not in the world of the occult. But all the things that I'm going to be discussing here can introduce people into the world of the occult and have indeed led many people into the world of the occult. So let's try to answer the question, how many people, how it happens that many people get introduced into the world of the occult. First is horoscopes. Astrology is in the world of the occult. No doubt about it. When we discuss the world of the occult, the first thing we'll discuss is astrology. We're going to be discussing that. It is in the world of the occult. But a lot of people just read newspapers and they see it written down. A lot of times that will be an introduction into the world of the occult for them. But horoscopes, when people either worship the stars or try to plan their future, think that the stars map out what their future is going to be like and that their future is determined by the stars and not by the God of the Bible, this is a tremendous introduction into the world of the occult. And you'll have people say that they're Virgos or they're Capricorns or whatever. But horoscopes is one way that people get introduced into the world of the occult. Now, Halloween is not the world of the occult, but it is an introduction into it. Halloween formerly was a practice where witches used to go around the town, and people, it was the night before All Saints Day, and it was All Souls Day, where the dead that didn't go to heaven, a day set in honor of them, and what was attempted to be accomplished there was the witches would go house to house, and you either left them a treat, you left them some food, or they would cast a spell, put a trick on your house. Well, in today's Halloween, the same practice remains the same. Now, when Constantine became a Christian, he was the emperor of Rome. When he became a Christian, he changed all the paganistic, occultic holidays and turned them into Christian holidays. Now, they used to worship on December 25th, they used to worship the Christmas tree type thing, and it had nothing to do with Christ. We kept the Christmas tree, but the whole meaning of Christmas has changed so that it celebrates the birth of Christ. Easter celebrates the resurrection of Christ, right on down the line. Well, the only holiday that was left the same was Halloween. It is still practiced today, just like it used to be practiced when it was deep in the world of the occult and something for witches to celebrate. In fact, Satanists will tell you that that's the second highest holy day on the satanic calendar is Halloween. The Ouija board. The Ouija board is a third introduction into the world of the occult. The Ouija board itself, actually, if a person plays it believing, that is the occult. You're in the world of the occult because you're attempting to get information from the supernatural realm, from the spiritual realm, apart from God. But most people, when they play it, it just forms an introduction because they're just dabbling in it. They're just having a good time, they think. But in actuality, what happens is the whole game is geared towards you making contact with the spiritual realm, the realm of the demons, and receiving information from them. And that puts you deep into the world of the occult. So Ouija boards is how many people get introduced into the occult. Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons is not the world of the occult, but it's a fantasy role-playing game, but it is so entrenched with introducing people into the world of the occult that a good percentage of people who play Dungeons and Dragons end up getting deep into the world of the occult. Now, fantasy role-playing games, psychologists have used it with much success to get people to role-play somebody that they'd like to be so that eventually they really believe that that's the type of person that they are. We've often heard of actors and actresses who assume the role so much that after they're done filming the program, they can't convince themselves that they're not really that character. Well, in Dungeons and Dragons, you role-play as a rapist. You role-play as a sorcerer casting spells on people. You role-play as a demon. You role-play as an assassin. A base that I work at, Subbase Bangor, a major base in the Northwest, there was a Navy gentleman who killed, brutally shot, an execution-style shot, two people in the head on base, then went off base, killed another person and wounded another. But he had been deep into a very bright man, had a very high security clearance, but he had been deep into Dungeons and Dragons and went around telling everybody that he was a ninja assassin. And he seemed to have been fantasy role-playing so much to such an extent that he lost track of reality, and I believe some type of demonic possession may have occurred in his case. You'll be shocked, by the way, in law enforcement, probably 80 to 90% of law enforcement personnel are dead set against Dungeons and Dragons and will openly admit that Dungeons and Dragons is a threat to our society and that people can become ruthless murderers and totally unsociable people because of it and could actually live out their fantasies and cross that thin line from the reality to the fantasy realm, yet most of these cops are not believers and deny the existence of the spiritual realm. But you'd be shocked at how far law enforcement people sound almost like evangelists when they talk about satanic crimes and Dungeons and Dragons and things of that sort. But they've seen the reality, the dangers of them. Another way that many people get introduced into the world of the occult is horror movies. Horror movies. Friday the 13th, where you see, often see a woman without much clothes on her getting her throat slashed from ear to ear, that type of thing. The brutal sex, plus the brutal slaying and stuff like that. Friday the 13th, the Elm Street movies, right on down the line, horrible movies. Now, I used to think that the older movies weren't that bad. But just think about them for a minute. Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. Well, what did she do? When her husband died, she took him out to the ocean, put him in the water, cut out his heart, and ate it. That is not normal. And what was Frankenstein about? It was taking a dead bodies, putting different parts together, and bringing the person back to life. What about Dracula? Dracula he's pretty much the king of the nighttime world. He only comes out at night. He lives forever. And he lives by drinking blood, which the Bible forbids. And he seems to be a figure that is symbolic of Satan himself. What about a werewolf? In certain occultic practices, there is still a belief in the world of the occult that by having animalistic sex between a man and a woman in a wooded area at night and calling upon demons to indwell you, that you can take on animalistic characteristics. And eyewitnesses have stated that the people take on features like wolves. In fact, there was a television documentary about in Great Britain about a man who would go into seizures, take on animalistic characteristics, and it would take 5-6 police officers to hold him down. And when each one of them were witnessed, they said he looked basically like a wolf, like a wolf man without hair, was the way they described him. But horror movies, they are not the world of the occult, but they whet people's appetite and they get them interested in the world of the occult. In fact, you find that a lot with science fiction movies today at times as well. Even Star Wars and movies like that have introduced people into the world of the occult because it's gotten them into Eastern mysticism. And so even science fiction movies as well as horror movies. Transcendental meditation, that is the realm of the occult. What you have there is Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, Hindu meditation, calling on the false gods of Hinduism, which the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 are actually demons. So you call on demons to possess you and to work through you. You surrender the control of your mind to the demonic realm. And so transcendental meditation, which a lot of people practice, just think it's going to help them get through stress, and in actuality it leaves them deep in the world of the occult. Drug abuse. Drug abuse is another way that many people get involved in the world of the occult. In fact, rock and roll music, I think this, you know, they started out singing Baby, Baby, Can't You Hear My Heartbeat in the late 50s, and then all of a sudden now in the 1980s they're singing, in the 1990s, they're singing songs of praise and worship to Satan and about human sacrifices and about raping women and the whole nine yards. I think the drug abuse opened that realm up. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, there's the word sorcery, translated sorcery. Well, in the Greek, the word is pharmakia. Pharmakia. We get our word pharmacy from it. It was translated sorcery back then. But what is a pharmacy? A pharmacy is a drugstore. You see, in the, to be a sorcerer, both the Greeks and the Hebrews drew no distinction between a drug user, between a sorcerer and a drug user. Whether you used the drugs for a magic potion, or whether you used the drugs to escape reality and to reach what you felt was a higher realm of reality, in actuality you just surrendered the control of your mind to demonic infiltration. But regardless of what your reason for using drugs were, you were considered a sorcerer in the Bible. Well, today in America, we draw a distinction between a sorcerer and a person who uses drugs. The Old Testament and the New Testament never drew that distinction. So drug abuse has introduced many people into the world of the occult. And by the way, there are some good uses for drugs, but anytime we abuse something, there's a danger in it. And then finally, another way that many people get introduced into the world of the occult is through satanic rock and roll music. Through satanic rock and roll music. You had AC/DC. In fact, you know, you go way back and it was Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin. Well, Led Zeppelin, the lead guitarist's name was Jimmy Page, and he bought the old mansion of Aleister Crowley, a man who called himself Beast 666. Claimed to have broken every one of the Ten Commandments, used to perform human sacrifices, considered himself a very high Satanist, was considered the most evilest man on the planet Earth during his time. Well, Jimmy Page has bought his mansion. Now, the lead singer, Robert Plant, credits the death of his child and some other problems with the band as being directly related to Aleister Crowley's mansion, and so he refuses to visit Jimmy Page over there. But Led Zeppelin, their Stairway to Heaven, the lyrics there teach an anti-Christian doctrine, and when it's played backwards in a way that they could not have done themselves, they're satanic messages that glorify Satan. Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne was the lead singer there, and they used to have satanic altar calls at their concerts in an attempt to lead people to Satan. Although Ozzy Osbourne is not a Satanist, he just considers it a way to sell albums. He is preaching a false gospel, leading children astray who are buying this stuff, even though he himself doesn't really buy it. Most satanic rock and rollers are not real Satanists. They just use it because the more evil an album is, the more albums it's going to sell. At the same time, they're leading people astray. But even Ozzy Osbourne, when he bit off, when somebody threw a bat on the stage and he bit the head off, he openly admitted that he felt like it wasn't him who had done it. It felt like some power had taken him over and caused him to bite the head off the bat. But AC/DC, that stands for Antichrist Death Cult, that band had some songs entitled Highway to Hell, and they referred to hell as the Promised Land. AC/DC had a song Hell's Bells, Sin City, and they had a song Night Prowler about a guy who sneaks into people's rooms after they go to sleep and watches a husband and wife naked in bed and then blows them both away. And a young man growing up in California, AC/DC was his favorite band. His name is Richard Ramirez. AC/DC was his favorite band. He became a self-styled Satanist, and he became the Night Stalker, and he was actually living out the Night Prowler, the lyrics to the Night Prowler songs. And when he was convicted of murder, as he left the court, he had a pentagram drawn on his fist. He held his fist up and he yelled out, "Satan rules." We need to watch out for people like that. But AC/DC, a satanic rock and roll band. Motley Crue displays the pentagram, the five-pointed star on their albums. And they bring a satanic message with them. We already mentioned Ozzy Osbourne, who used to be the lead singer for Black Sabbath. Now he's on his own. You find upside-down crosses on his album covers, a satanic sign. And again, he used to have the satanic altar calls at concerts with Black Sabbath. The Judas Priest. Judas Priest, there's been deaths. People have died at their concerts because of the violence that goes on. Confiscated weapons at their concerts. Teenagers who have committed suicide while listening to one of their songs, which encourages people to commit suicide. By the way, if you're going to name a band some type of priest, Judas Priest will be about as satanic as you can get. I attended two of their concerts before I was a believer, so I have a little bit of knowledge about them. Van Halen, though they're a hard rock band, they're more of a mellow band compared to some of these other bands as far as the satanic message is not as loud. But Van Halen has one of their songs is entitled "Running with the Devil," and living a lifestyle that glorifies Satan rather than glorifying the Lord. Eagles, the Eagles. Now there's a real mellow band. They can't be satanic, can they? Well, their Hotel California album, Hotel California, is Anton LaFey's. That's his pad. They sing about a place that you can never leave. And on the insert of the album cover, he's one of the many people whose picture is there. In the crowd, Anton LaFey, the head of the Satanic Church, the Church of Satan, which has a nonprofit status in California, he's right on the album cover itself. So the Eagles, even they, have a satanic message there. Then there's KISS. KISS, which stands for Knights in Satan's Service. Knights in Satan's Service. One of their songs is King of the Nighttime World. And reference to Satan and glorification of Satan. And then you have a band, Twisted Sister, heavy perversion, heavy sexual content. Now, some of the modern bands that I'm not quite as aware of, but I've done some reading in one of Bob Larson's book on Satanism, some of the more modern bands are getting even worse. Bands such as Slayer, King Diamond, Iron Maiden, and Megadeth. Let me repeat them again. Slayer, King Diamond, Iron Maiden, and Megadeth. You'll see on the t-shirts the satanic symbols, skulls, blood, whatever, and satanic rock and roll music has been used over and over again to lead people into the world of the occult. And so these are just some of the things, how many people get introduced into the world of the occult. We define the occult as that which deals with secret or hidden arts, that which deals with events that go beyond the five senses, that which deals with the supernatural realm of demonic forces. The pseudo-occult is trickery or fraudulent. It's the art of illusion. But the genuine occult has genuine demonic intervention. Then we discussed how many people get introduced into the world of the occult through horoscopes and astrology, through Halloween, Ouija boards. And by the way, Ouija boards, the movie The Exorcist was based on the true story of a young teenage boy in Georgia, and it was through playing Ouija boards that he eventually got possessed by a demon. Dungeons and Dragons introduces many people in the world of the occult. Horror movies and science fiction movies. Transcendental meditation, drug abuse, and satanic rock and roll music. And again, let me just list some of the names of those bands. Slayer, King Diamond, Iron Maiden, Megadeth, AC/DC, Motley Crue, Ozzy Osbourne, Judas Priest, Van Halen, Eagles, Kiss, Twisted Sister, Led Zeppelin, and Black Sabbath. Many other bands as well, and I believe drug abuse was how many of these bands ended up coming around, drug abuse actually introduced them to the world of the occult. By the way, with Led Zeppelin, I forgot to mention it, but Jimmy Page, at least while they were a big, well-known band, was a practicing warlock. at the time. In fact, even Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac is a practicing witch. Okay, now let's discuss. We define the occult. We talked about how many people get introduced into the world of the occult. Let's talk about the world of the occult itself. The world of the occult itself. We're going to spend the remainder of this lecture and the next lecture on that, the world of the occult, before we close lecture number 12, the final lecture, which is the lecture after this one. We're going to close that on the authority of the believer, how the believer is to confront the world of the occult. But the world of the occult. First, let's discuss astrology. Astrology. Astrology is the belief that the position of the stars and planets directly influence people and events. Let me repeat that. Astrology is the belief that the position of the stars and the planets directly influence people and events. Astrology is the belief that the position of the stars and planets directly influence people and events. Let's see what the scriptures has to say about astrology. Look at Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47 and verses 12 to 15. Isaiah 47 and verses 12 to 15. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries, with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by, nor a fire to sit before. So have those who come to you with whom you have labored, who have trafficked with you from your youth. Each has wandered in his own way. There is none to save you. And so the God of the Bible is saying, don't turn to the astrologer for salvation. He can't save you. If you want to be saved, turn to the God of the Bible. But the astrologer himself is going to end up in the flames of hell. And if he can't save himself, how is he going to be able to save you? But Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross of Calvary. 3 days later, he rose himself from the dead. He rose himself from the dead. He can rise you from the dead. He has power over death, a power that the world of the occult does not have. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. And beware lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. You see, astrology can take two forms. One is that you can just believe that the position of the stars and the planets directly influence people and events, that it determines things, but that they're impersonal. But the other is to see the stars as false gods who you worship. Either way, the practical implications are the same, though you might worship in a different way. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, if you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, God's going to work everything towards your good. God is in control, not the stars. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus Christ says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, Christ doesn't say, go to the astrologers. If you're weary and heavy laden, go see your astrologer and find out about your horoscope and get some help there. No. God doesn't even say, go see Sigmund Freud and lay down on his couch. Jesus Christ says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's astrology. Another element of the world of the occult is referred to as parapsychology. Parapsychology. This is very important. Parapsychology is an attempt to give the supernatural realm a scientific explanation. Parapsychology is an attempt to give the supernatural realm a scientific explanation. In other words, we're trying to, all of a sudden science only dealt with the physical realm. Now scientists are no longer, as there's not so many atheists as there used to be, they're recognizing that there's got to be a spiritual realm out there. And rather than turn to the God of the Bible, they're now saying that, well, when people predict the future or when people can read your mind, these are just, they're operating on a sixth sense rather than the spiritual realm. They deny demons and angels and God. They say this is just the next step in the spiritual realm. This is the next stage of evolution. So parapsychology is an attempt to give the supernatural a scientific explanation. You have Gene Dixon and Edgar Cayce. They made many predictions. Gene Dixon predicted the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Edgar Cayce used to diagnose people's sicknesses even though he had no medical training whatsoever. Edgar Cayce had entire books of the Bible memorized, but Jesus Christ is very clear to point out in John chapter 5, the Bible doesn't save anybody. The Bible points to Jesus, and it's Jesus who saves. But Edgar Cayce taught that Jesus was only a man, and that reincarnation is what deals with man's bad karma, rather than Jesus Christ dying for our sins. But Edgar Cayce, at one time I heard of a story where a young boy was choking slowly, was having all kinds of problems in his throat, and the doctors, every time they x-rayed him, they couldn't find anything, so they went to him. He went into one of his trances, or today we would call channeling, and the voice that spoke through him said that there's a clear button lodged in his throat that you cannot see on the x-rays because it's a clear, transparent button. They operated based on that testimony, and sure enough, it was there, and they cleared it. But Edgar Cayce, ARE is his cult. He's dead now, but he has a cult that's living on. But some of their prophecies have been false. They have made certain prophecies that have not come true. And what does the Bible say about them? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. In other words, he's not a prophet of God if he's got 99% accuracy. He's got to have 100% accuracy to be a prophet of God. Also, Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And Gene Dixon and Edgar Cayce have prophesied many things that gave no glory to Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to give glory to Christ directly. It could be indirect glory to Christ. But their prophecies, there's no way in the world that the winner of a horse race is going to give glory to Jesus Christ. And that's what Gene Dixon has predicted on several occasions. So they are false prophets, and their messages must be rejected. But let's take a look at some of the different types of parapsychology. There are two main branches of parapsychology. Two main branches of parapsychology. The first one is extrasensory perception. Extrasensory perception, we refer to this as ESP. ESP, extrasensory perception. Extrasensory perception is to know something without the help of the five senses. Let me repeat that. Extrasensory perception, ESP, is to know something without the help of the five senses. So it's assumed to be an extra sense, the sixth sense. Extrasensory perception, the ESP, is to know something without the help of the five senses. Now, underneath this branch of parapsychology, there are three different categories. Three different categories under extrasensory perception, ESP, to know something without the help of the five senses. Three things fall in this category. One is telepathy, which is mind reading. Telepathy is mind reading. Clairvoyance is perception of objects not influencing the senses. Clairvoyance is perception of objects not influencing the senses. Clairvoyance is perception of objects not influencing the senses. And precognition is predicting future events. Precognition is predicting future events. So underneath the category of parapsychology, you have, number one, extrasensory perception, ESP, to know something without the help of the five senses. And then you have three categories under ESP. Telepathy, which is mind reading. If I read your mind, that would be telepathy. Clairvoyance is perception of objects not influencing the senses, such as if I looked at you and said, oh no, there's an horrible accident that just occurred on the intersection of 6th Street and Naval, which, you know, happens to be 15 miles away, and there's no way I could know it, and then you read the newspaper the next day and it says an identical moment an accident occurred there. That's clairvoyance. And precognition would be predicting future events, like Gene Dixon and Edgar Cayce had done or had attempted to do on several occasions. Now, under parapsychology, which is an attempt to give the supernatural realm a scientific explanation, you have number one, ESP, extrasensory perception. You have telepathy, clairvoyance, and precognition under ESP. But the second branch after ESP, which is also under parapsychology, is psychokinesis. Psychokinesis. Whereas ESP, extrasensory perception, is to know something without the help of the five senses, psychokinesis is manipulating objects without touching them. Psychokinesis is manipulating objects without touching them. Such as, you know, somebody who's able to just look at something and think real hard and move a crayon across the table. Psychokinesis is manipulating objects without touching them. So let's take a look at these again. I'm just going to briefly refresh our minds on parapsychology. Parapsychology is an attempt to give the supernatural realm a scientific explanation. It has two main categories. One is extrasensory perception, ESP. The other is psychokinesis. Now, under extrasensory perception, ESP, that is to know something without the help of the five senses. There's three types. Telepathy, which is mind reading. Clairvoyance, which is perception of objects not influencing the senses. And precognition, which is predicting future events. And then psychokinesis, the second part of parapsychology, is manipulating objects without touching them. Another view that falls in the category of the world of the occult is reincarnation. Reincarnation teaches that in order to defeat the negative or bad karma from a former life, you need to be reincarnated into another body and start a whole other life. And the purer teachings on reincarnation tell you that you're not really to help others, because you're just interfering with them. They need to defeat that bad karma on their own. So reincarnation, Hebrews 9:27 refutes it, says it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. After you die, the next thing waiting you is the judgment, not for you to be reincarnated in another body to destroy more karma. We don't have reincarnation to destroy the bad karma. What you have is Jesus Christ becoming a man, dying on the cross for our sins and defeating the sin for us, not reincarnation defeating our bad karma. The reincarnation, supposedly, eventually you become part of the world soul and you no longer need a body to reincarnate into. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, Jesus talks about Lazarus the beggar and the rich man. They both die, and Lazarus the beggar is in paradise. The rich man is in torment in Hades, waiting to be cast in a lake of fire in hell when Christ after the great white throne judgment. There's a gulf in between both of them they can't pass over, and it becomes real clear, the message is real clear, that you cannot come back to the earth and visit the earth. You're not going to be reincarnated. You get one life to live, and that's it. But that's reincarnation. It's refuted by Hebrews 9:27 and Luke 16:19-31. Transcendental meditation. Transcendental meditation, another part of the world of the occult. Meditation in that form is an emptying of the mind. You empty the mind, and then you chant these one-word mantras, which are actually derived, their syllables taken from names of Hindu gods. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 19 and 20 is very important here. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 19 and 20, By the way, the Bible talks about meditation, biblical meditation that we should do. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1. Godly man will meditate on God's word. What that means is you empty your mind from your own sinful thoughts, but you have your mind immediately filled with principles from God's word. So you dwell, you know, like Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, have your mind dwell on these things. That's biblical meditation, where your Bible is dwelling on godly thoughts, on godly principles from God's word. Your mind is being renewed. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, Romans 12:1-2. But when you empty your mind and just leave it totally empty, you're leaving it open to demonic influence and demonic control, especially when you chant these one-syllable mantras, which are derived from the names of Hindu gods. Listen to what Paul says about worshiping false gods. 1 Corinthians 10:19-20. 1 Corinthians 10:19-20. What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to become sharers in demons. And so the false Hindu gods, there's actually a demon. There's a real spirit being, a demon, that is involved in that situation. And so when you empty your mind of your own thoughts and you call on these Hindu gods, you're actually calling on demons to possess you and to control you. So that's transcendental meditation. Fortune telling is another area of the world of the occult. Fortune telling. And in fortune telling, you have palm reading, where they try by the lines in the palm of your hand, they try to predict the future for you. You have the use of the crystal ball. Gene Dixon uses the crystal ball to try to predict the future. You have tarot cards or numerology. They take certain numbers like the date of your birth and all this other stuff and try to predict your future and all through those means. But Revelation 19:10 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If this prophecy is from the Lord, it's going to testify to Christ. Fortune telling does not. And then 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. Listen to what this says. So Saul died for his trespass which he committed against the Lord because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked the counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him, the Lord killed him, and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. A medium is a go-between between the spiritual realm and the physical realm, and Saul went to a medium to try to get message. It's like going to a fortune teller to try to get message from the spiritual realm without inquiring from God. If you want information from the spiritual realm, go to God. If he doesn't give you that information, be content with the information that you have, but don't go to palm readers, those who use crystal balls, tarot cards, and numerology to attempt to tell the future, to tell your fortune. Instead, go to the God of the Bible. So we've covered at this point, we gave a definition for the world of the occult. We talked about how many people get introduced into the world of the occult. Now we're talking about the world of the occult: astrology, parapsychology, reincarnation, transcendental meditation, and fortune telling. We'll pick it up in the next lecture. Thank you.